Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers, just like you. I want to take a moment to relay to our listeners how Perch is responding to the business restrictions that we're all experiencing at the moment due to COVID-19. First and foremost, they are practicing every level of caution to ensure the health and safety of their staff and customers. Employees are working remotely but remain available and accessible to the design community via phone or email to help us continue to design and be of service to our clients. Perch delivery and installation services fall under California's definition of an essential business supporting the skilled trades providing services for construction and home repairs. This means that deliveries and installations continue. This also means that in the event of a failed appliance, service or replacement is just a phone call away. Perch is proud to be of ongoing service to the design community through these challenging times. Sales and service representatives can be reached by calling the main number at your preferred Perch location or by visiting perch.com. All email inquiries are being routed to remote staff at your service. Now on with the show. Today, we welcome Tracy Connell of Tracy Connell Interiors, a full-service design firm based in Dallas, Texas. In this episode, Tracy tells us how she built her business to be her rock during a time of challenge, and how the pressure of necessity has led her to a place of giving back to the design community in a very special way. This episode is all about transparency, and we're not talking about pricing. Design professionals are real people with real lives, and Tracy reminds us that roadblocks and challenges are inevitable. Listen in as she shares her top tips on how to overcome uncertainty and getting unstuck. Let's get started. Well, Tracy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Rick. I'm so glad to be on your podcast today.
I am so happy to have you. So this was a great connection, and I think you have a great story, and I've never had anyone from Texas on the podcast before, so I'm excited at a whole bunch of levels.
Well, good. I'm happy to be the first one.
So Tracy, can you start by telling us a little bit about your business and what it is that you guys specialize in, what your setup is right now?
Sure. So I own an interior design firm in Dallas, Texas, and we specialize in really new construction, large renovations, and full home furnishings. So that is really my business model, is to incorporate these larger projects in our pipeline. And obviously, the less amount of projects, the easier they are to maintain and really give that great customer service. So that's what we specialize in. We also have a little niche, which I'm sure I'll talk about in a little while, but it's called Ease of Glamour. And I developed that niche before like livable luxury was really even kind of some buzz terms. Mm-hmm. And so we are really armed with the tools that we can teach our clients of how to embrace that durability, but also the luxury component as well. So that's really the description of the firm. And I do, at this point, I have two full-time designers, including myself, with addition to myself, and then a part-time business manager and another part-time designer and admin. And then some fractional work with a fractional CFO.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that business manager that you have on your team. So obviously I looked at your website and I did my homework because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I have in my notes to bring that up because I was very excited, and I put a big star next to the fact that you really feature that business manager as a key component of your business, which I think is incredible and necessary. Tell me a little bit about that person's role and how they are a part of your, you know, creative business team.
Sure. So when I was growing the firm, I really had to take a deep dive into my finances just based on some personal things in my life, and realized that if I didn't analyze my numbers and know my numbers, then I was going to go nowhere fast. And so at that point, that gentleman was my business coach and helped me navigate my way to where I am today. So basically, he is here just 2 days a week and he handles everything money. So, you know, invoicing, even taxes, but he works directly with our fractional CFO. So there's kind of two hand in hand and do all the prep work. And then I meet with her either every month or every other month to go over really detailed reports of, you know, where our margins are, our expenses, our forecasting, and that is huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also like the concept of that fractional CFO. Mm-hmm. And that's another term that's just starting to kind of circulate among the design community. Can you share with us a little bit more about that to kind of inform the listeners how that is contributing to your business model?
Oh, absolutely. So it's really funny because I never thought I'd like geek out over numbers or whatever, but I sort of do. Because the main thing with having her is she was here this morning. So we basically looked at what work I have in the pipeline and what my goals are for revenue at the end of the year. And even when I wasn't at this level, you know, I would know, okay, if I could get like three more of the Smith's jobs, then, or type like a Smith's job, then I know I'm going to meet my numbers at the end of the year. So knowing what I have to go get where I am now is huge. Also, everything is broken down into profit margin. So I know too, well, gosh, why is my profit margin low this month? What is the issue? Then maybe she'll come back to me and say, well, Tracy, you know, I think something might've been entered wrong in the system where your freight is showing up here and it shouldn't be. So it actually is a great safety net to be sure that my team's processes are going well. You know, she looks at cash flow on hand, we go over the P&L, but this has been an awesome tool to help me grow. It's just showing me where we are, where I should be, how to cut expenses. And then even if I have like a large, like maybe a marketing endeavor that I'm considering, I will run that by her as well and see how that's the best move to do.
I think that is such a valuable component of your business. And as you mentioned, looking at the margins and having someone who really gets them and is able to calculate them. And as a business owner, just having to listen to the good and the bad and understand what went wrong so that you can fix it, as opposed to trying to figure that all out yourself, that can be overwhelming. And I also find too that with regards to margins and evaluating, they're not what they should be. I wonder what went wrong. And that could be so many things, including what I'm sure you've experienced, because we all do. Oh, that chair was off, or we had to send it back to be reupholstered and they didn't like this, so I ran out and bought this instead. And then before you know it, that starts eating into your margin. You look at your numbers and say, well, why aren't they what they should be? And then when you take into account all the mistakes associated with that job, and that's a really good way to get back on your game.
Exactly. And that's why when we set our margins, they are pretty much the same every time, because we know that's what it costs to keep our doors open. And there are going to be those mistakes. And that margin has to cover that. You know, it's got to cover, you know, running the office and then dealing with those issues that inevitably in our archaic furniture industry, they're going to happen. And we have to fix them.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
So I think that's incredible that you pay such close attention and that you've developed a team around you to ensure that all of those things are on the table and that you're privy to all of that That is business responsibility.
Yes, I couldn't imagine another way of doing it, actually. And like I said, I've grown to actually enjoy that meeting, which is, you know, not heard of from many designers, but it's helped me a lot.
Yeah, no one ever says, I can't wait to meet with the accountant this week.
I know, exactly.
Us, me and you.
Yeah, me and you. Yeah, especially when it's a good day. A good news story is what she calls it. So we like to hear those.
Those are the best. So Tracy, have you always been a designer? Is this a second career for you? Have you always been in the creative industry? How did you get here?
So that's a great question. So no, my college degree is in elementary education. And I taught for about 6 years. And then at that point, I became pregnant with my second child. And I said, okay, I'm gonna take a little break. And then I went back and taught like half day. And then I got pregnant with my third. And it was like, all right, I sort of want to stay home. Well, after about a year or so, my husband and I at the time were like, okay, now we have to start saving for college for the first one. So you need to go back to teaching. And I was like, no, not so sure that's what I want to do. But you know, my passion had always been in interior design, which is why my classrooms looked like they should belong in like Classroom Beautiful. So I loved the creativity of the classroom, but that was not my passion. I figured out my passion. I'm so lucky to figure out like, this is what I love to do. Literally started a business with a neighbor, business cards, and started doing it for friends and family. That partnership dissolved after about a year. And so I've been doing this on my own for about 19 years.
Wow.
Not particularly at the level that I am now, but that really came to fruition about seven years ago. Kind of I wouldn't call it a sort of a side hustle, had to become real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 8 or 9 years ago.
Well, nobody starts at the top. We all have to
work. No, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Well, Tracy, you and I had the privilege of speaking to each other before this interview and getting to know each other a little bit. And you shared with me some specifics about your journey on how you landed where you are today and the path associated with you becoming the incredibly successful businesswoman that you are today. And can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Sure, I can. It's really based on my personal story. In the fact that I mentioned I was a teacher, well, I was married for 25 years and I was married to an alcoholic. And, you know, running a household with the kids and you're running a small business too was a bit challenging because at that point I really never knew which shoe was going to drop at all times. But I kept all the balls in the air and hid everything and hid a lot from my children just to maintain some normalcy. But really, I guess about 20 years into the marriage, things started really dwindling. And my husband at the time went in and out of rehab and just, you know, would come out and things would be great. And then really toward year 24, things were going just really south. And I had to figure out how to get my household to be healthy. So on our 25th wedding anniversary, there was an incident, an unfortunate incident that happened between us. And I literally left with my children, got them in the car, took the dog and left in the car. Didn't really know where to go, sat in the school parking lot with, okay, now what? And kind of fast forward, basically it took the guts of me not knowing where my future was going to be just to make things right for my family. So we ended up divorcing a year and a half later. And at that point, or even before, I knew that I had to take this part-time or this side hustle to be a full-time job because I had to make money or else I was going back to teaching. And that's when I decided my first step was to hire a professional, a business coach, to really help me scale what I had going, because at that point, I didn't have a choice on what to do. I had to put food on the table, and this is the only thing I was passionate about and I really was good at, that I knew I could do it. So we worked that year, and you know, one of the next steps was actually hiring somebody, because of the way that I worked and not having a formal education in design. I did a lot of workshops, a lot of masterminds, professional organizations, but it was the grit, I think, that started propelling my business. The following year, my ex-husband passed away. And so yet again, another setback that I had to deal with and run this business. So I learned really fast how to really compartmentalize my feelings and kind of put them to the side and run the show. And so that's really what happened. And then after his death, I basically did everything I could, you know, 4 a.m. getting up in the morning, working at night to learn as much as I could about marketing. And my, you know, really the area in Dallas, as far as design goes, to up level my business. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was hard work, but I feel proud of where we are now.
Yeah, you should be very proud. And I'm really proud of you for your willingness to share that story, because as you and I discussed, I don't think that is as untypical a story as we may think. So, you know, we all have our journey. We all have our story. And we also have in common this great business of design, mm-hmm. and the passion for design and our passion for business. And despite all of those setbacks, you managed to build an incredible business and do incredible things. You've got a great team. You're working on incredible projects. And on top of all that, you're willing to share and talk about it and help empower and encourage other people who may be going through something similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew about 5 years ago that I really wanted to share my story, because really, and you said this in an earlier talk, I had to become vulnerable. And also the fact that interior design, my design business, actually saved me, because it gave me a vehicle to feed my why. And my why of doing this was my kids and putting food on the table. So I realized, okay, I want to give back and talk about some of the crisis that happen in designers' lives. I mean, I know it's there. Nobody talks about it. But I remember the feeling where, you know, it was the morning after we left and literally ended up at a neighbor's house with nothing. I had a consultation that morning at 10 o'clock with a new client. And basically, I had to show up. I had to take my feelings, put them aside. I had to show up and collect that paycheck. And that's what I learned to do. That's what I learned to do. And it was setback after setback, and I would be stuck. And I have come up with systems and processes that I use to get me to this business where I am today, you know, to allow me to do that. And at this point, I want to give back and teach other designers that it's okay to talk about these things that you have going on in your life and tips and strategies to get you unstuck really fast.
Right.
Because if I could do it, they could do it.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, there is so much happening in the background, and mm-hmm. we can't expect everyone to get it, and we can't expect our clients to understand it. But I think as a design community, we can certainly appreciate what each other is going through and kind of at least understand that in this Instagram world, in this world of beautiful websites and glamorous homes and all of these things, that, you know, we have real lives and we have, you know, real things happening in our lives. And at the end of the day, you know, they do contribute to our business. and what we do, we are so personal about our business. It's such a personal thing that we do creatively and for our clients. And we are integrated on such a personal level with our team as well. So, you know, I think it's smart that we talk a little bit about, you know, what's happening in people's lives and promote that vulnerability that you described.
Right.
Just for the sake of realness.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like I said, I mean, once all this happened, I did have to, you know, become an open book. I had to ask for help. You know, I was a single mom navigating this, and I'm not ashamed. I grew from it. I learned a lot of lessons, and you know, that, and the thing is, like, I feel like I had to do it. And so, you know, these designers that are going through a crisis or a setback, it's really taking a hard look at it and then putting forth, you know, that effort and laying it all out there. And it's actually recognizing some things in yourself, right? And really taking action fast. And I feel like that's what I did about, you know, with myself. Like, I've developed like these things that are like, okay, if I need two clients in the next week, this is what I'm going to do to get these, because I didn't have a choice. And when you're going through turmoil, sometimes you don't have a choice. Right. You have to get this done quickly. Right. And, you know, that's an unfortunate place to be in, but that's okay. This happens.
It happens. Mm-hmm. So fast forward a little bit, mm-hmm. Obviously things took an incredible turn.
Mm-hmm.
You had an impact in your design community, and you built clearly a stellar reputation in Dallas. And so the jobs started coming in, and you obviously developed a team. What was that process like? I'm sure it was very fulfilling.
Yes, fulfilling. And it's so funny because, you know, when it happens, you're making these decisions like one day at a time. And boy, I wish that I could have looked at it with, okay, in 5 years, I want to be at this level, this goal, this many employees. I did not have the privilege to do that, because in my life, everything was very reactionary because of my circumstances and my family. I reacted to everything. And I talk about fear a lot in my past, and you know, fear has two meanings, you know, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And I use fear sort of as a friend to help propel me, to help me keep on my toes, right? And one of those things was really taking the step to hire my first employee. And that was a risk. And I am really, it's funny, I'm not really a risk taker, but I knew that I had to do it. And some of these risks have paid off. It's really hard when you're making financial risk, but I did. I hired a first employee. And then, you know, as we did, we had a website that really was, it was strong. And so a lot of our leads would come in that way. And then, for, you know, word of mouth. So the more projects we got, the more I started building. The only way I could build was to get my systems and processes in check. And now, I mean, honestly, like, there is a template for everything. There is a checklist for everything, and everything we do, you know, is through Dropbox or Asana or, you know, some of these other tools. And now, you know, when I communicate to a potential client, like, I just landed a really big job because they loved how organized I was and the systems, the processes that I'm going to implement on their construction job, that honestly, that was one of the reasons. And that comes with building a team, because you can't be there all the time. So I knew, and that was one of my strategies in doing this, I had to duplicate myself. You know, I had to get vulnerable. I had to get help. I had to duplicate myself and make it easy. That's another thing in my life. I try, and that's the whole ease of glamour. I try to make everything as easy as possible with the fewest amount of steps to get to my end result. I know. Pass motion.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And no excuses. That's another one. No excuses. I don't like excuses.
I just feel like, you know, your life experiences have, you know, this can always go one of two ways. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in not living in the past and not looking back and really looking forward and making the most of any situation. And I feel like you've done all of that and you've created this amazing business and you really respect the business and you really cherish it. And you're doing great things. And by sharing with the design community, I think is the ultimate pay it forward. I love it.
Yes, I am hoping to share a lot more with it. And
let's talk about that.
Yeah. Like I did mention that I am developing, I'm developing a course actually. And for just designers at this point, that basically is appealing to designers who might be suffering a setback. You know, I had the setback with obviously my marriage, the divorce. I call it like the three D's, divorce, death, and dating. Dating wasn't a setback, but it was a whole different, like, oh my God, it took up so much time, but it's funny. But really designers who are having a setback and are stuck, because I feel like I lived it and I have the tips and strategies to help them get unstuck fast. So whether it's revenue producing or whether it's, you know, something with a client or whether there's an unfortunate situation with their family that they need to propel forward and boost their revenue, that's who I want to help. A setback can be a setback for anybody. You know, my third setback happened, last year. Setback is not that I got married. That's a good thing. So I got married 2 years ago. Yes. We bought a new home together. Yeah. We renovated the home. And 5 months after we were married, we had a major house fire. Oh, wow. And so I am like, okay, enough with all of this, these setbacks. But if I didn't have the tools and the systems and processes in place, you know, dealing with the insurance and all of the everything related to the fire, I never could have kept my business going like I did. Yeah. And those are the things that inevitably, you know, in life, you get the test before you get the lesson. And I would like to teach how to be prepared for those times when the shoe's going to drop. And you still, your income matters to your household. It has to keep going, and right, how to navigate that and your emotions, you know, with whatever crisis or setback you're going through to continue to, you know, be profitable in your business.
I'm so glad that you're saying that. And I'm so glad that you are placing such a great emphasis on the value of your business. And I think every designer should really value their business. You know, what's happening right now with this whole apologizing for our hourly rates and negotiating our markup and allowing our clients to kind of intervene and try to run our business instead of us running our own business just for the sake of getting that next job, I feel like that has to stop. I think that more design professionals need to respect their business and they need to enforce their business model, whatever it takes.
Absolutely. And I feel like I blamed my business structure. I use that answer a lot when people are like, well, you know, I can't, you know, work with your full service model. Then I have number one, an alternative. Then, you know, we have an online design program, or, you know, I would like to look at all your receipts, this, that, and the other. You know, it's just, this is the way we do business. And with that comes with a lot of confidence, right? Confidence in what you're doing, confidence in the fact that your margins are correct and you just feel right about everything you're doing. And you can stand up and say, this is why we do this. This is my business model I've been using. This is what my accountant recommends, et cetera. But I understand that that is hard when you're first starting out and you're growing your business and you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe I will negotiate that. But I feel like you earn the respect from the client for standing up for yourself. And if you lose it, you lose it. And I guarantee if you're If you've got your business in the right place, there will be another opportunity to surround the door.
Absolutely.
It just opens another door.
I think some of the best advice I ever got was to turn my struggles into strength. You know, I've struggled with fear and judgment most of my life. And I do believe turn your struggles into strength. And in situations like that, when a client is, you know, giving you a hard time about your pricing, that's when you say, you know what? I've been through bigger things. This is this conversation with you is a walk in the park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even though I said a few minutes ago not to live in the past, I think that's a good time to look back and say, hey, I just dealt with XYZ.
Yeah.
Make it through that. This conversation, let's have it.
Absolutely. And the thing is still, you know, you're still going to have that feeling of fear because, you know, you might lose something, right? And that is a risk. I mean, that's a decision we all need to make every single day. And it is using what happened to you in the past in a positive way. And I look at these setbacks in Christ, everything that I've been through, and I look at the opportunities that have come from them. I mean, I have three amazing kids that have weathered the storm with me. And I just, you know, I don't want to say I'm thankful for what happened, but boy, I am a different person. I approach my design way differently. I approach how I interact with clients and how I take way more time to learn about them and their families and what's important to them. And therefore I can create better design.
Let's talk a little bit about your secret to survival. I feel like we've covered that a lot in the last few minutes, but more specifically, as it relates to your business of design, big picture, what would you say your secret to survival is in this business of design?
I think really the secret to survival is to outsource, duplicate yourself, have things that are going on behind the scenes that you do not have to have your hand in. We know that you've got time or money. You know, if there is a point where, yes, you have enough money to hire a virtual assistant, do that, because you've got to take the time to explore the bigger picture, the five-year goal, because it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You have to be very intentional about it. So I feel like building a team, and if you don't have the resources to hire your full-time employees, I mean, look at the amount of people who are virtual right now and are part-time, but they specialize in their niche. And so obviously you're getting a better outcome from those people. But I feel like the secret to survival is talking to the experts, and then you're cutting out a lot of industry fluff in time to get to your end result faster. And, you know, there's always something to learn. And it's also taking a really good look at yourself. And in order to get to your goals is, you know, I've had to realize myself that I am certainly a big picture person. I execute on things that are in my wheelhouse, but know my limitations and, you know, have outsourced or hired for that. But I think that's the only way that you can survive while building, you know, your firm to something bigger than you.
Right. I agree. And so what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? I'm sure there's a lot of things.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I feel like, again, it goes back to getting help. I wish that early on, I knew how important the systems and the processes were, even when I was a one-man show. I mean, sometimes, you know, way back in the day, like when I was doing the invoicing, and it might take me 2 days to go through all my receipts, and I didn't have a project management system, an accounting system to do that. And if I were to have had my systems and my processes with my business, how I obtain clients, how I present to clients, how I invoice in place, then when all these little setbacks happened to me, it would have been a lot easier to deal with instead of at that time recreating the wheel.
Yeah.
And then when it happens again, recreating the wheel.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have had it in place before.
Yeah, you don't want to do that when you're in a bad place. You want to have it in place in advance.
Yep, and I did it the opposite. And so now, yeah, I'm here to say, come on now, let's think about this. Because the shoe's going to drop something, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't have to be a terrible thing. But your business needs to keep clicking. Your business needs to keep clicking so you can go on vacation.
That's right.
And not worry about it. And have a personal life.
All right, and so... You know, our final question is, how do you pay it forward in the design community? And I love hearing people's response to this because designers are so creative in the ways that they give back and they pay it forward, especially in what I refer to as our design community. And that pay it forward is what really fuels me and makes me happy to be a part of the design community. How do you pay it forward?
A couple of things. So two in particular would be, one of them is the coaching program that I am starting, and I've been doing this for just a while. So again, is really sharing in what my experiences have been, just really propelled from the design industry. Like I said, I've used this, it's been a positive tool for me, and it's time for me to help other designers move, to get unstuck. That would be on my website. It's just tracyconnell.com, T-R-A-C-I, Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L-L.com. Another thing, just another way of paying it forward is, you know, I kind of want to talk about another way to help. This is just really a tip. I have another company called Dallas Design Works we've talked about. And really what that is, this is just a little strategy, but it started out with a couple of colleagues that we created a company just for buying power. Mm-hmm. And with that said, you get better, you know, pricing on your stocking dealer accounts. And then obviously it helps your margins grow, but reach out. One of the things that really helped me was reaching out to colleagues, you know, letting the curtain down and forming these bonds. And I do recommend that, you know, designers, if they do not have that close relationship with some other colleagues in their field, really look into that, confidants and, other trusted designers to share resources and help each other grow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one example of the benefit of doing that, you know, that buying power. I've heard of that concept before and becoming a little more popular. And I think it's brilliant because A, financially, it's amazing.
Yes.
Profit margin, hello, we live for that. But in addition to that, it's such a great way to build what I call, you know, your design tribe, the people that you surround yourself with, your confidant. Your allies. I love the fact that the design community is really going strong in that direction. And that's a great example of how designers can collaborate and build and expand their tribe. So I appreciate you sharing that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So how can we learn more about you? I know that we can learn about your coaching at tracyconnell.com, but about your interior design services and how can we see your work on Instagram? Because, you know, we all live for Instagram.
Oh, I know. Yes. I'd love for you guys to follow us on Instagram. And it's just Tracy Connell Interiors is the website and Instagram. And, you know, I try to pop on there and do some stories about the current work that we have in. And I do like to show some of our processes and systems and things that we are using. Because I do have oftentimes a lot of questions about it. And yeah, I would love for you guys to follow us and interact with us, and then we'll do the same for you.
That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy, I so appreciate you coming onto the podcast, and I certainly appreciate you sharing so openly about just a reality of life and business that I think so many designers will be able to relate to and appreciate. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rick. It was great chatting with you.
Okay, so you already know what I'm going to say. I love how Tracy made her business manager and fractional CFO a priority when growing her design business. She realized right out of the gate that she didn't have the time to learn these skills, and she certainly could not afford to fast track her design business without a solid financial foundation. I think owning her strengths and weaknesses, coupled with her sheer grit and determination, was the perfect recipe for Tracy's growth and success. Real life put Tracy in a place of fear and uncertainty, but instead of forgetting everything and running, she chose to face everything and rise. I was introduced to Tracy around the same time that I was introduced to the concept of making vulnerability a strength, not a weakness. The moment Tracy told me that she wanted to share her journey openly and honestly, in the hopes of inspiring and empowering other design professionals who may be struggling with limiting mindset and life in general, I couldn't wait to get her on the podcast. We can all relate to the struggles of life, family, business, and even success. Many of us can also relate to the 3 D's, as Tracy likes to call them: divorce, death, and dating. I, for one, am grateful to have someone like Tracy as part of my tribe. I foresee a bright future of friendship, advice, and laughter, because at the end of the day, there's nothing you can't overcome with a little help from a friend. Have you signed up for Design Biz Retreat yet? A limited number of tickets remain for the design community's most anticipated 2-day retreat this fall in sunny Palm Springs, California. We've been planning this retreat for months, and now more than ever, we're convinced that by this October, our community will truly need this opportunity to connect with fellow design professionals and learn strategies and techniques to enhance their business model and perhaps even better adapt to the new normal for our industry. Go to designbizsurvivalguide.com for all the details and to register for this exciting opportunity. Thank you everyone for your support of the podcast, and I truly hope that our little passion project has provided you with some distraction and much needed inspiration during this time of change. Be safe, be well, and until next time, get out there and inspire.